Are you in a constant fight with your technology? And does it seem like the technology is winning? Well, you've come to the right place. It's time for Battleborn Tech with your host, Christy.
Even though computers blue screen with localhost not found every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Pacific, this is Battleborn Tech on KNVC FM 95.1 and streaming live and on demand at knvc.org. KNVC and Computer Corps neither confirm nor deny the opinions on this show. They have yet to listen. Don't tell them about these opinions from Christy and guests, and maybe we'll get to be back next week. Need tech battle reinforcements? Call in for backup at 775-241-3571 for Battleborn Tech. That's 775-241-3571 anytime. Leave your name, tech problem, and a good time for a battle call backup. Remember, always wait for backup.
And perform backup.
Backups are always good. We're all for backups.
And make a backup of your backup.
Backup the backups, yeah. But don't overwrite the backup. When that happens. They didn't have enough tapes for their backup for one series, so they just put tape 8 back into 1 so they could have enough for the... That was a bad day. Well, I mean, it got the job done, I suppose, checking off your list, but when we it didn't work when it was time to restore it.
Yep. So we've got a couple of phone calls this week, and they're both dealing with Zoom because, well, you know, we're still in the middle of a pandemic, and Zoom has entrenched itself as thoroughly in our lives as Facebook or Google or any of the big tech behemoths that have come to rule our lives. I almost said ruin our lives, but that could hold true too.
Yeah, it could go either way.
Both true. So before we get into any phone calls, anything interesting happening tech-wise this week?
Well, I don't know if it was this week, but I was surprised to find out that yet another thing is snuck into Windows Defender. I don't know if you've been watching Windows Defender over the years. I mean, it started out giant anti-spyware. Microsoft bought it, rebranded it, and it's been growing and growing over the last decade. It just had another update. I don't know if you missed the update where they actually added an offline scan, which means you can get into the settings and tell Windows Defender to reboot your machine without Windows and scan for malware and antiviruses even outside of Windows. So that's a good way to check for rootkits, and that's what they were doing. That's a tremendous feature that they really haven't talked about, but it just suddenly appeared. Another thing that just appeared is something they've been trying to do for decades now, is to protect files. And they've expanded that to try to protect your files from ransomware. So there's a ransomware option now in the latest versions of Windows Defender. Now, it's tricky. If you go to what they're calling, still calling Windows Security now, and look at the little shield on the side and get into Windows Defender proper, you'll see the ransomware menu option, and it will say, no action necessary. Now, they're tricking you there. That means they're not quite ready to tell everybody about it, because if you click on that, you'll find that it is turned off by default. So I imagine some month they're going to turn that on by default when they're feeling a little bit more confident. But if you want to be one of the ones to try it out and get a little more protection in the bargain, I've had good experience with it. Your mileage may vary. You can go ahead and turn that guy on. And what that does is protect the folders that you can specify. Mostly the user directory, your documents, your pictures, all the stuff ransomware goes after. It protects it with an allow list, meaning only what Microsoft has seen before and knows are okey-doke is allowed to change those files. So far, it's been transparent to me. I haven't found any hiccups yet. And if there are some, I'm sure we can click past it. But boy, I think that's a really good... really good thing to turn on, and there is no performance hit, so there's really no reason to turn it on and try that out. But don't let that, if it says, don't believe it when it says no action necessary, don't believe them. Click on through and go ahead and turn it on. And if you have a problem or an issue with it, you can always turn it off. And if you do have a problem, just say, hey, give us a call at 775-241-3571 or drop us an email at questions@battleborntech.org and tell us about it so we can tell others.
Well, we've got someone here who actually called us on our number because they have problems with Zoom and setting their browser defaults. This is Ozzy. Let's see what we do.
Go ahead, caller.
Hello. Hi, Chris. This is Ozzy.
Hey, Ozzy. It's Christy.
Yeah, I've got a question for you and a problem.
All right, that's what Battleborn Tech's all about. Go ahead.
What I need to do with my browser, going from page to page, I have bad eyesight, so I like to have a big print. Well, every time I have to go to the Zoom and change it up.
Right,
increase
right.
It. So you know how to fix that?
Yeah. Not intuitive. That's what I'm looking for. Because you see the Zoom button and you're using that great, and that's what you should do, and that's super. And that's where you think that you would, you know, nail it down saying that I want to Zoom 110. But as soon as you start over the browser or even go to another tab, open a page in another tab, the Zoom goes back to the default. So.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. We're on the same page. All right. Speaking of pages, that's on another page. Because if you heard me say defaults are controlled under settings. So what you need to do is get under settings. And that is usually three parallel lines, and which is what you use to get to the Zoom button, the Zoom settings. But the three parallel lines, you click that, you see a whole menu of stuff. One of them, depending on your browser, is called settings. And somewhere in that settings, I'm looking at mine. I got the Brave up today. It's under appearance on the front page there. And down at the bottom, they got page zoom. And you can set that. And then that will stick until you reset it again. So what you want to do, you don't want to get to the Zoom settings, which is where a normal person would look. You want to get into the settings or defaults. And when you hit settings, it'll come up and it'll give you display or appearance, words like that. And there you can set the Zoom default of where all the pages start, which is what you want.
Okay, that sounds great.
Okay, well, great. Everything else treating you all right?
Everything's great. I owe you.
All right. Thanks a lot. Thanks for calling in to Battleborn Tech. Thanks, Ozzy.
Okay, thank you, Christy. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Oh, visual Zoom settings. How big is the text on your browser? Oh, silly me. We've been doing Zoom calls so long now on Battleborn Tech that I automatically assumed that the post-it note was referring to the app and not...
Zoom the app instead of Zoom the setting. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. It's hard to remember back in the before time, Zoom made a completely different thing than a video conferencing system. Zoom, I'm getting a couple monitors and they're a little bit further from me, and I'm a little bit older, so I've been fooling with the Zoom issues as well. There is Magnify, but that is kind of a difficult app to use it, in that it allows you to have a window that shows a larger screen and it shows the text as well. It's kind of confusing to use. It's almost like you have to do some CSI work. It's almost a job to use Magnify. So the Zoom settings are very helpful in the browser. And also, you could go the other way. You can do a Zoom and now if you have a multiple monitors. Remember, they are set for each monitor under the display settings, so be careful there. What you can also do is reduce the resolution. That's another way of making things better, bigger, and it might be a little bit better than increasing the font size on the desktop, because then the apps will behave better. You can usually get away with the 125 increase, but anything more than that, you probably should go and reduce your resolution to enlarge your fonts and everything on your screen.
That makes sense, because the designers go through and they're designing for a specific size of font. And like you say, they don't allow for much wiggle room when it comes to font sizes. If you go too large, they start overlapping each other, and then you can't read anything because it's a jumble of letters. And...
yeah, it doesn't hurt anything. You won't break anything. It'd just be difficult to read on a couple apps. So you may want to take a look at the resolution rather than permanently setting up the font size.
Makes sense. So do you have a word of the week for us?
Yeah, the word of the week came up a couple times, and N plus one. And this isn't something that you get on an invitation to a social event. N plus one is a theory, a thought, a design concept, in that whatever you need for your, in our case, computer application, you have an extra one in case that breaks down. So it's kind of like a backup, but it's like a hot backup. For example, in my work, I've moved everything to the home, and I have two completely different internet connections. So I only need one, but I have two. I have N, which is what I need, the amount that I need, and plus one, I have another one. And it came in handy for me because right in the middle of a meeting I was leading, my internet went boom. Then I jumped up and ran across the house, got on the other computer system, on the other internet system, my N plus one setup, and picked right up. I said, sorry about that, and just went on my merry way. So one of the things to consider is not just what you need to get online, stay online, but N plus one. I've had folks come into the shop, and they've got a phone. Okay, they got a phone and it's broken and it needs work. And they said, I got to have this fixed now. My entire business is on and I don't have anything else. Well, if your entire business is running on your phone or on your computer or on that, and you probably want to have another computer.
Yep, redundancy.
So that... yeah, so, you know, you're not paying to let Cranky Christie work on your computer when he doesn't want to, because he charges a lot when he does that. So what you want to do is follow the... I've told the story before. There's a CPA who every around February, end of January, would call us and pay for us to come in, put a brand new printer in his office, hook it up, get it going, run it, make sure everything's perfectly good, drivers, everything good. And then he would pay to have the exact same printer, same model, same run, same color, in the box sitting right next to that printer. That was his N plus one. He didn't call it that. He goes, because if I'm printing out tax forms at 4 a.m. on April 14th, and my printer breaks, I'm just going to take that out of the box and plug it in and keep going.
Yeah, makes sense.
N plus one. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know how much longer we're going to be working from home, but even when we go back to office, something to consider is more and more, I think we're going to be staying more and more on the internet. I don't see that going away. You may want to think, do we have more than one type of connection to the internet? And if you have further up the road, you may want to check your service providers. If you have a business on the web or some kind of web server application, do they have N plus one? Do they have two connections to the internet backbone in case ones go down? We're all a little bit... we saw what happens in Texas with utilities and infrastructure. And so that's something that we have to think about and be aware of. So N plus one, whatever you need, and then one more.
Well, I think we got another phone call here lined up. Let me read the post-it note a little more carefully. Make sure I don't... okay. This one just says Zoom and document cameras. So...
Okay, I think this is actual Zoom as we've come to know it this year.
I hope so. This is Sue. Let's see what we work out for.
Go ahead, caller.
Hi, I'm Sue, and I've got a question about document cameras for use in person as well as on Zoom.
All right, it's Sue the Zoomer back with us. Hey, Sue. So you're looking at document cameras. For those of us who don't know, what is a document camera? What do you consider a document camera?
Well, I am a substitute teacher. I am doing a long-term position. And one of the tools that the teacher gave me while she is recovering from surgery is a Lumens document camera.
Okay, the ladybug?
Yes, it's also referred to as the ladybug because it is red and shaped like one.
Okay.
It's really nice. It belongs to the school district.
Okay.
But it plugs into the USB and then it feeds into the laptop computer that I am using. It's great for when I want to write something for the kids. For example, when I teach math, I open up the math book, toggle on to the document camera, and it projects in real time the page that I am on. And then it follows me as I write. So it's just like a live camera.
So it's like it's like a projector, but for Zoom rooms. So yeah.
Right. It's also, I've used it in the classroom where I can do something on the computer, or actually what I do in the classroom when I've been in the classroom is I will turn on the document camera, do the work, but it goes through the computer and then it projects onto a PowerPoint. It connects to a PowerPoint. The computer connects to the PowerPoint projector. And so what I am doing can be seen on a larger screen. Which is the other reason I want to use it is I would like to be able to use this in my
church.
So that we can put that on our large screen monitor so I can be writing and talking and showing people documents that I cannot necessarily get on the computer.
Well, great. So you've already found one and you don't want to get the one that you use at school and is it the price or?
I'm looking at trying to find something. Well, this is over $300, my understanding is.
Well, yeah.
So I'm looking for something that's, I've got a budget of $200, give or take a few bucks.
Okay, one of the things to watch for, the ladybug has been around for a while. So if you see something online or used, you're going to have to be looking at, want to make sure that, it'll work with Windows 10. That's not always the case with the older ones. Some of them are stopped at Windows 7. You have to watch out for that. You probably looked in Google. They're mostly above 200. Even the really simple ones are that. I do see some just doing my first Google search that are under 200. They're not the ladybug, they're not Lumens, but they do have some out there. So there's a possibility. Another possibility I was thinking about is, do you have a digital camera?
Do you have an SLR
camera?
Yeah, I do, but the church doesn't. I want them to be independent.
Okay, well, if for some of those that other folks out there, cameras can be used for Zoom meetings. It depends on the camera. You want... you can go two ways. One way, most popular is the HDMI output, and you got to make sure that there's an option of a clean output of HDMI, no captions or information coming out on the HDMI. That's a possibility for some folks, not you, I guess. The other one is that with an additional software driver, a lot of the cameras can be used for live streaming with the USB, just like a document camera. So for some people, that might be an option to take a look at their camera and take a look if there's a software available to allow them to hook it up via USB as a second camera or document camera. We're not doing a camera. We're not doing that.
I know you can use an iPad, but I don't know that buying another iPad is a cost-effective option.
Right. So you think you want to try to use an iPad, or you're against the iPad?
No, I would rather not use the iPad, because if we're Zooming and we're wanting to use the document camera, we can't use the, we Zoom with the iPad.
Okay.
So it would mean another iPad. And,
yeah.
And I think that would cost more potentially than
right.
a document camera.
iPads, even older ones are a little expensive. If someone has, here's another thing. A lot of us have some old phones around. If you can get it on Wi-Fi and get it on Zoom, that phone could be your, and another Zoom client. And so you could switch to spotlight that Zoom camera on the phone camera and use that as a document camera. So that's another option. There are cameras in your price range. I'm just seeing up on my web search. So that would be some, and a lot of them are high, highly rated. I'm seeing some with over 1,000 rates, edging into, 5 stars. So.
Now, would this be on Amazon?
Yeah, you can look on Amazon. You can look on another thing here on Battleborn Tech. We don't point to direct sellers and products, because we are a community radio station. But you can look on Amazon. It's a good place. You can look online on shopping and other shopping sites, with ratings.
Okay.
But there are some out there. Yeah.
Okay. The problem I have is, and again, I don't know how truthful it is, but I've been reading articles about bogus, ratings on devices.
Yeah. That,
people
that
random stuff, and then someone says, they make up fake ratings. So, I don't know what percentage of ratings is fake or.
Yeah, you got to watch that. I've had good experience with Amazon. I'll go out and say that. But yeah, there are some people that try to do that and throw that. But when you get up in the thousands, I'm thinking that's
okay.
Pretty good. You can also look at more than one site. And that's another good thing to do do a search on just the model number and see if people have posted good or sorry stars by that. And we're getting more into online shopping, so that's good as well. But you've got some options out there. The camera you don't like because, you don't have, the church doesn't have a camera, but for some people that would be good. There are some lower price document cameras that you can use. You can use the iPad if you have one. Again, not for you. You can also use a phone, even when that's not activated. If you can get it on Wi-Fi and get it on Zoom that way, you could use that as a separate Zoom client and a separate document camera. So a little bit more juggling there rather than having
right.
to plug into the same computer. But, it's kind of time, talent, treasure. That's what I say.
Right.
Whatever you want to spend. You want to spend your time,
right.
your talent, or your treasure. So a Ladybug or one of the more professional document cameras from Lumens and other folks is definitely an option as well.
Okay. Oh, okay. Just, for the listeners, I have looked online. There are devices that will hold your iPad or your phone and
mm-hmm.
hover it above the document. So, there are peripheral devices that can aid if they would choose to use an iPad or use a phone.
And that's adding more time and talent than treasure. But if you got the treasure, sure it's nice to just plug in that second camera into the computer you're using for Zoom. That's true.
It's very, very convenient. You sit, especially on Zoom, you go to, you know, you can toggle between cameras. And I'm assuming that if it comes into the computer on the USB, there is a way to connect it, say, to another computer, or connect the computer then to the big screen and have it projected on a large screen monitor.
Oh, yeah, that's all done because all the add-on web cameras, in fact, I got one in front of me right now, come in through the USB. So they're very used to taking that input and putting it where it needs to be on the video. Sure.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so if it comes into the computer, then there are ways to be able to connect it to the large screen monitor.
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. That was my bigger concern.
If you're going with the camera option, which you're not, but folks, you need to know that you need another little box. There is a couple good ones out there. Another little box to take that HDMI, and then on the other end, it has USB. There's a couple of converters that you could do it that way. But if you're doing the camera and you're doing HDMI out, you either need an HDMI in, which is very rare on computer, or you need a box that will take that HDMI and convert it to USB to get it into the computer. So that's a consideration if you're not using the USB option of the camera, but instead are using the HDMI option in the camera.
Okay.
All right, Sue. Yeah. Well, thanks a lot for calling Battleborn Tech. I hope you get it sorted out. If you do, if you find this solution or another one, give us a call back and tell us how it went.
I will do that. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Well, as we use Zoom more and more, we expect more and more out of it. And I don't know if you caught it there, but one of the things to consider is to check around to see if you have that old digital camera that you haven't used for a couple of years because you're using your phone for everything. A tripod and sometimes some software and a USB connection is a way to get you going for yet another camera, another source that you could use for a document camera. And also, you may, even if you don't have that, if you have an HDMI out, a clean one, which means it doesn't have the little time and date stamp and whatever else, you could just have the HDMI out. There are fairly inexpensive converters that'll take the HDMI and put it in a good old USB and shoot it into the computer so that it can pick it up as a webcam. That's something that you could do for little or no cost to add to your capabilities of zooming from home.
Okay. Now, Christy, there is a question I did have. Is it possible, do you know of any software video mixers where, like, if you're doing a document camera, you can have two camera sources and then it'll mix it together and put that feed onto Zoom? So basically, you can have the picture of your document, and then there's you have a picture-in-picture of you in the corner going, well, as you can see up in the corner here, there's a...
Yeah, I'm sure they're out there, and I don't have anything really to recommend. Maybe if you're interested in, send an email. We get you on the phone and talk about those at 775-241-3571. That's 775-241-3571. Anytime, give us a call. We'll do some research, talk about it, and get you set up.
Well, Christy, I think that's going to wrap us up for this week.
Well, Battleborn Tech broadcasts from KNVC FM 95.1 every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Pacific and live streams on knvc.org, where you can also get on-demand episodes. And Joe, here's an announcement for 2021. Battleborn Tech has outgrown the generous space given to us by Computer Core, and we have moved on to our own website. So, Battleborn.tech, that's Battleborn, and then the period, and then the word T-E-C-H. This is Christy, born to Battletech, with Joe, our engineer and editor. Breakmaster Cylinder is responsible for our theme music. Call 775-241-3571 anytime, and we'll get your tech battles fought on air so you don't have to.